This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Cordell Stewart. Earlier today, we had on Doug Williams. We were celebrating the fact that this is the first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks going head-to-head. We asked Patrick Mahomes about it last week when he joined us. Here's what he said.
I am proud, man. We've came a long way, and as I've gotten the NFL and obviously learned more and more about the history of the black quarterback, I'm happy that we're going to be on this stage, and it couldn't be against a better guy, man, and Jalen Hurts, and someone who's done it the right way. I've met a couple of times, just a great dude, and works his tail off, man. And I think you can see that with how his teammates believe in him, and how they've gotten better and better each and every year. And I'm glad that we're going to be able to represent the black quarterback in the biggest game of them all. So it's going to be a great experience, man, and I just hope it's a great football game.
Cordell Stewart set to join us here coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about this being the first quarterback with two black quarterbacks going head-to-head. Brandon Ayuk, who plays wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, was asked about the Eagles' defense. He says they got lucky.
I think Philly has
got Kelsey.
They got their hands full. They got their hands full. I don't know fully about that defense. They talk about him being a good defense. I'm not too sure. I'm not sure. I think the pass game, this Kansas City pass game will expose what we thought we were going to be able to expose before some unfortunate circumstances happen. So we'll see. But like I said, you got to get lucky to win a Super Bowl.
That was Brandon Ayuk, who plays wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I'm not going to lie. I hear a lot of hateration, holleration in his comments as well, because his team got exposed by the Philadelphia Eagles. But you know what? They did have some quarterback issues. You can't really win if Josh Johnson's at the helm for you in the NFC Championship game. So I understand why you got a little bit of salt in your game. But I don't think that he said anything really out of turn there, or what a lot of people aren't thinking about Philadelphia. I think the defense is really good. I think their defense is really talented. Their defense hasn't been challenged yet by an elite passing football team this entire season. We have seen 19 games from the Philadelphia Eagles this year. They have gone up against 5 good quarterbacks. 5. Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott. That's the list. So, yeah, their defense has put up some big-time numbers, sure. Who's the best quarterback they've gone up against this year? Is it Dak? Is it Trevor Lawrence? I mean, they played Jacksonville in week 4. That was October 2nd. Jacksonville wasn't a good team early in the season. This was before Jacksonville really started to make their run and start to figure some things out offensively. Aren't you the best because you've been challenged? Aren't you the best because I've seen you match up against the best and you've beat the best? Their defense just hasn't done this year. I'm not saying their defense is bad by any means. They put up great numbers. They got great corners, great defensive line. You haven't really shown it against an offense that I really think is that good. I mean, maybe San Francisco could have been that team, but their quarterback blew his elbow out in the first 5 minutes of the game. So that ended that conversation. You played Daniel Jones three times this year. You only played Dak Prescott one time this year. You played Arizona early in the season. You played Jacksonville early in the season. Green Bay was down this year. I understand you can only play who you're going to play, but I don't think Brandon Ayuk said anything that the rest of the league isn't thinking. I wonder how good this Eagles defense is when you haven't gone up against high-end, elite-level competition the entire season.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of like how we have, we being this show, poked holes in the Chiefs being second in the NFL in sack stat, despite the fact we've had our concerns, our qualms, our issues with the Chiefs pass rush? Despite all that, they came in second. Isn't that just the same thing as them attacking that stat? I feel like at this point in the season, you can only play who you can play, and I think we're going to be micro-focused on one game, understandably so, for 2 weeks. And I think we just hyper-focus on these stats. I think their defense is legit because of what Nate Taylor said last week. It's the depth of pass rush they have. It's the depth of bodies. It's not just a Von Miller, and then the Bills' defense fell apart when he got hurt. There's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of facets, a lot of depth. So, while I get your point, they have thumped up on Josh Johnson and Dak Prescott and so on and so forth. I think hyper-focusing and trying to poke holes in that stat is the same way people have poked holes in the Chiefs being second in sack stat.
Yeah, but I don't think that any Chiefs fan is walking around wearing the badge of honor like their team has the best defensive line in the league, though. I don't think anybody thinks that about the Chiefs. Sure, maybe they're not as bad as people have projected them to be, but I don't know any Chiefs fan that is really banging their chest about how great their pass rush is and their D-line is. Rob, I'm looking at the top offenses this year in the National Football League. The top offenses, they just didn't play any of these teams. They weren't challenged by any of these teams. Kansas City had the best offense in the league. Philadelphia didn't play them this year. Buffalo was number two, didn't play them this year. They played Dallas once this year with their starting quarterback. They played them early in the year where Cooper Rush was their team. When they played Dak Prescott, the Cowboys scored against them. It's not like they held the Cowboys to 17 points. They played the Cowboys late in the season when the Cowboys had all of their pieces. The Cowboys scored on them. It was a shootout. They just didn't play any of the teams that you and I think are really good offenses this year. What are we basing the fact that Philadelphia is the best defense in the league or one of the top? Are we basing it off their personnel? Are we basing it off what we saw over the course of the season? Are we basing it off their number? Because I saw Denver's defense this year go up against the best and really limit teams what they want to do. I mean, we can go through the teams that Philadelphia played this season that you think could potentially score. Detroit. Detroit had a top offense this year. They were fifth in the league in points scored, which is wild to say about the Detroit Lions. The Lions scored 35 points against them. We think Dallas was a team that could score. Dallas hung 40 on the Eagles this year. You name me a team that you think can score, and if they played the Eagles, I guarantee you they scored this season. I'm not saying their defense is bad. I'm just saying I don't think that Brandon Ayuk is speaking out of turn when he communicates that he's skeptical about the Eagles defense, because I'm kind of skeptical about the Eagles defense. You didn't play nobody. They played five quarterbacks that you and I think were good this season. Goff, Cousins, Lawrence, Rodgers, and Dak. And we might disagree on how good some of those guys are, but those were five of the more productive quarterbacks this year. You didn't go up against anybody elite. No, nobody that played at a high level this year. So maybe they're a really capable defense. It's probably like the ninth or tenth best defense in the league that has been propped up because they got three games against Daniel Jones, a couple games against Carson Wentz and Cooper Rush that has now propelled them to be in the top three.
Isn't that just a microcosm of the NFC, though? Like, who in the NFC? I guess Aaron Rodgers is maybe the answer. Who in the NFC where you're like, oh, man, they played that quarterback and shut him down? That guy doesn't exist over there. So you're right. Unless they got the cross-conference game against the Chiefs, which we know they didn't, or the cross-conference game against the Bills, who's the quarterback in the NFC where you're like, you know what? They went out of their way and shut that guy down. That guy doesn't exist. The Chiefs at least had their opportunities because the AFC is chock full of them. It's not the Eagles' fault that they have probably the best young quarterback in the conference because everyone else's game plan is old and bad.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined by Cordell Stewart on the show here coming up in just a little bit. I'm going to ask you a series of very important questions. Just, I want to get your thoughts on this. Who do you think has more catches in their career, A.J. Green or Mike Evans?
Well, seeing as I know you know my stance on Mike Evans, I'm going to guess AJ Green.
Okay, just curious. Who do you think has more yards in their career? Who do you think has more yards?
I'm going to go Green again.
Okay, so you think that AJ Green has more catches than Mike
Green,
Evans?
Green, I think Evans has more catches, but I'm confident in yards of Green.
Okay. Who do you think has been to the Pro Bowl more times?
Green.
Okay. Who do you think has been an All-Pro more?
Green. Or maybe can I say tie?
Oh, I was just wondering.
I'll say tie there.
I'm just asking. AJ Green has more catches than Mike Evans, has more yards than Mike Evans. He has been named to the All-Pro team more. He has been a 7-time Pro Bowler, where Mike Evans is a 4-time Pro Bowler. If you have been arguing that Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer, please tell me why AJ Green isn't. Because AJ Green retired today. The only difference in the two of them is that one of them got to play with Tom Brady and the other one didn't. Tell me why, because when we argued this over the season, and yes, we're arguing Mike Evans Super Bowl week, I don't care, AJ Green just retired. You guys were telling me that Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer. That's what you guys were telling me. He's a Hall of Famer. He has fewer catches than AJ Green, fewer yards, fewer All Pros, less Pro Bowl appearances. You tell me what makes Mike Evans a Hall of Famer and doesn't make AJ Green one, other than the fact that one got the opportunity to play with Tom Brady. See why we're doing this? Because you're not arguing AJ Green's a Hall of Famer, are you?
Sounds like two guys going to the Hall of Fame.
Stop it. I'm not letting you do this today. No, I'm not letting you do this. You know AJ Green's not a Hall of Famer, and that's fine. AJ Green was great when he was in the league. Had a great career. Salute to AJ Green and whatever he plans on doing next. You guys were so adamant that Mike Evans was a Hall of Famer. I want to hear that same fire right now for AJ Green and you arguing he should be in the Hall of Fame. Because it was a better wide receiver than Mike Evans. He was better. He was better. Mike Evans has never been that guy. He is just a productive wide receiver, and that's fine. No one's saying that he wasn't good. You guys were telling me he was a Hall of Famer. He has fewer catches than AJ Green. He has fewer yards, fewer All Pros. AJ Green made the Pro Bowl 7 times. Mike Evans has only made it 4 times. You guys tell me how easy it is to make the Pro Bowl. So why don't Mike Evans got 11 of them then? Why don't he got 11? Because he's just good. There's nothing wrong with just being good. See, I tripped you up on your own thing right there. I got you right there. Oh, I got you there, Rob. You don't got to respond. You know I got you there with AJ Green. Because you know if I'd asked you yesterday, is AJ Green a Hall of Famer, you would have said no. You know you would have said that.
I would definitely need your to know. But it's cross sport. I would have never said Scott Rowland's a Hall of Famer, and yet here we sit.
Well, the Baseball Hall of Fame is just weird. I'm not even the Baseball Hall of Fame. They let anybody in. They let anybody in the Baseball Hall of Fame if they think all you drank was milk and took Flintstone vitamins. If they think for a second you took anything, you can't even visit the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Cordell Stewart. Earlier today, we had Doug Williams. Later today, we have on Warren Moon. This is the first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks facing each other. We'll talk to Cordell Stewart about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the De Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs and the home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
All of our Super Bowl guests this week are brought to you by AG Power John Deere. AG Power. Experience all that John Deere has to offer at AG Power. And also by Papa Murphy's. You can get any medium two-topping pizza for just $6.99 in-store or at papamurphys.com. Earlier today, we were joined by Doug Williams. He was the first African-American quarterback to play in and win a Super Bowl. Coming up at 4:30, we'll be joined by Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer, will join us at 4:30. Very happy right now to be joined by Cordell Stewart. You remember him from his time in Pittsburgh. Cordell was a guy who was known to play multiple positions. That's why he got the nickname Slash. Our conversation with Cordell Stewart started with, how did he fight the perception off that he was just an athlete and not a pure quarterback?
Oh, come on, man. You can see it just how the game has finally gotten to a point where, you know, we're having a conversation about two African-American quarterbacks starting in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's never been done. You know, we get excited when there's always that first thing. But, you know, here's the thing that becomes, in this day and era, in this time and day and age, that becomes very funny to me is we have all the gurus that are talking about the mobile quarterbacks now, and in particular the black quarterbacks, and how now they're now contributing to the game in a way where it's now celebrated. Right. As opposed to when the mid-90s being the most extreme and arguably one of the first, if not the first, to actually do it the way I did, from playing wide receiver to playing quarterback, it was only tolerated then. In no way possible you can catch the ball that good and be that great of an athlete and then have a chance to be the starting quarterback on the football team. And it's always having to climb up that ladder to prove a point that you're capable, you know, that you're able, because there's always been this misnomer that, you know, in particular when it came to mobile quarterbacks, it was more times than not the black quarterback. He wasn't smart enough. We had to change his position. The process of developing this player was too much, but yet we'll put the other quarterbacks in and they can't win. They're getting paid more money. And then you have this guy over here who was a really good quarterback playing receiver, playing a safety, playing a corner or punt return, or let's just say he's not even in the National Football League, let alone not even a backup on a team. And so, you know, there's been a lot of uphill battles to prove a point of you being deemed worthy of worst case scenario starting on a team. I'm not seeing an opportunity, because if you're good enough, you're going to play. You know, I don't want to make it seem like, you know, because you look like this or you have this type of talent, you know, we took a chance on you. You're taking a chance from day one. As soon as you pick a player, whether it's Trent Dilfer, whomever it may be, Phillip Rivers, it could be any one of them. Pick one. We're taking a chance on every last one of them. And to not have that opportunity to fail and do it in a way where it's a learning experience, as we saw Troy Aikman, as we saw the Peyton Mannings in their first years, winning maybe one game, correct me if I'm wrong, I think 1-15, correct me if I'm wrong, was a record for both quarterbacks in their very first year starting, coming out as high draft choice in the first round. Give those opportunities to the black athletes, if you will, at the quarterback position, and have those coaches that are capable of developing that talent to then fit the mold of what, quote unquote, the way the National Football League quarterback should play. To me, if you're doing it great in college, why can't you do it in the National Football League?
Right now, we're joined by Cordell Stewart celebrating the fact that there are two black quarterbacks starting in the Super Bowl for the first time. What really excites me about Jalen Hurts is we were told for 20, 25 years that this kind of quarterback couldn't work at a high level. This offense couldn't work at a high level in the National Football League, and now it is. And I think of so many players. I think of yourself. I think of Michael Bishop out of K-State. Guys that maybe were a generation or two too early. Do you ever think about that how you would play in today's NFL that is much more suited to your skill set?
What Jalen Hurts is doing is phenomenal. You know, you hear people still questioning the ability to throw, and you're still saying, hear people, you know, doing the traditional conversation of he's a great runner, right? We don't say that about Josh Allen, though. Mind you, he turned it over 22 times this past season. It's dating back to the Green Bay game. He turned it over 22 times, 11 interceptions, and 11 fumbles, recovered two of those. But we're not really harping on, you know, wondering if he should change or if he should stop running or whatever. We just say he needs to be careful. But if you see a Jalen Hurts as last year, as you saw him play, trying to find his way in the National Football League, as we saw the Troy, the Troy Aikmans to the Peyton Mannings to the Steve Youngs of the world, struggle in their early stages to the point where you hear so many saying, I don't know for sure if he'll ever make it to the big game or if he could ever do, if he could ever throw it. His completion percentages are as high or higher than an Aaron Rodgers, who we consider as the great one in the National Football League. We have a passer rating that's in the top five in all of the top five to the top eight maybe in all of the National Football League. He's rushed for over 700 yards. He's only thrown, I think, 3 to 6 maybe interceptions. Don't quote me. I'll let you guys do the fact check. But it's single digits and below 7 interceptions throughout the entire season with running the ball for over 700 yards and being able to go over 20 in passing to 11 in rushing touchdowns, which is only third in the history of the game. I think I was one of those quarterbacks that had the opportunity to go over 20 passing and 11 rushing. You just don't see it often. And because it is such a quote-unquote blur, thinking it's like the, let's say, the Wildcat-style offense where it's just going to be a fad. It's just going to be something that's going to happen just for a moment. Well, we was doing that back in the early, mid-90s. If you took what we did way back when and you place it on television today, that's a top five, top ten pick in the draft. Kyler Murray, number one pick overall. He's no taller than 5'11", maybe. 5'11", I'm being generous. I don't have a computer or an iPad in front of me, but I'm just speaking. He's not the traditional 6'3", 6'4", blue-eyed, blonde guy. He's an African-American / Asian descent young man that's a minority that's considered the black quarterback in the National Football League. First taken overall, and he's leading the helm and getting paid big money. Deshaun Watson getting paid big money. You're seeing Russell Wilson getting paid the same thing. Dak Prescott, they're talking about actually extending his contract, okay, to right now Lamar Jackson. He's up for an opportunity. You're hearing conversations about what's going on with Jalen Hurts and him getting a mega deal. His coach giving him conversations in the likes of a Michael Jordan. And you have Patrick Mahomes, who has a $500 million deal. I mean, long overdue. But this type of action's been going on for so long in the National Football League. To see it now happening, I'm glad that the pundits and those who are covering it are seeing it and are respecting it. But a lot of guys have been left behind and been disrespected and not celebrated and tolerated because of whether it be their talents was so extreme and so excessive to where they preferred to move them. And more times than not, it's been an African-American quarterback.
How proud are you in just seeing the overall evolution of the black quarterback, so to speak? Because even in this game, these are two very different styles of quarterbacks, both prolific in their own rights. And then you think about the future generation. I mean, this year in the draft, I think there's going to be two of those quarterbacks. Bryce Young might go number one overall. C.J. Stroud, two different styles of quarterback. There's just a variety of the black quarterback now in the National Football League that is having a lot of success.
While the question is being asked about the excitement, you have so much stuff that happened to the point where it's not a level of excitement per se. It's just long overdue. It's been going on this way for so long. It's just unfortunate we don't have more of us that are covering the games that can honestly be open and truthful about it, tell it like it is in a way that people can learn. Because in order to understand it, you have to address it. You have to bring up some of those things to let you know well, you asked the question about being excited, Cordell. That's the question. Well, while there is a level of excitement, I'm not going to sit here and act like that's enough.
I just look at the future and where I think that football is heading in. I think quarterback like Jalen Hurts are just going to be more the norm moving forward. I just think about the way college football is, and we see how those offenses have kind of merged together where there's not much of a difference. And you look at the quarterbacks under 30 right now, if you don't have a hint of athleticism and mobility, I just don't know if you can start in the NFL today. I think about how fast the defenses are, how complex the defenses are. I kind of think we've got to the point where maybe gone is the way of the traditional quote-unquote pocket passer, the Eli Manning type, and we're going more towards where you got to have a certain level of athleticism to play this game, where I think we're maybe 5-10 years away from this is just the norm. This is what football in modern times looks like.
I don't think we're that far away. I give it five. Here's the reason why. See, that RPO system requires a mobile quarterback. And if you have any talent coming out of Little League, middle school, high school, you're not going to be asked that question and change your position too often. Too often is the big word I'm using it. And the reason I say that is because when going to the National Football League, in order for that to happen to where we're speaking on, within the next 10, I say within the next 5, is you have to have the coaches that are coaching that. If you don't have the coaches on the collegiate level that we know get the chance to move up on the ladder to the National Football League, because you can't just keep doing the carousel of coaches in the National Football League getting these jobs. It's going to be, I have no choice but to go to the collegiate level to get that coach, that style of player, because these guys on the defensive side are too fast. So we have to get that athlete at that position that can come in and help our organization, to where regardless of what's going on with this athlete, Deshaun Watson, we're going to give you 230 guaranteed. We don't care, because we have to be able to compete. Because if we don't, again, it's not the athlete. It's the coaches. Once you get the coaches in the National Football League from the collegiate level that are getting these kids from the high school level that are playing like this, then that's when the parity is going to start. And for me, it's not going to take that long, because if you look at the National Football League, okay, the Heisman Trophy from USC, he ends up being a quarterback, but he's mobile. That style of sitting in the pocket, it won't, I'm telling you, the speed is too fast. Look at the combine. You got guys who are 6'7", almost 270 and 80 pounds, running 4.6s in the 40. Are you kidding me? You know how fast that is? You have to have some speed in the backfield. So the question then becomes, how are they going to do this thing? Because the numbers are getting bigger and bigger. Think of the guaranteed contracts of those quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, Sean Watson, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson is coming. You have Jalen Hurts, who's on his way. If I'm missing one, help me out. That's after you got, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. That's six quarterbacks that are African-American quarterbacks that have guaranteed contracts, that have numbers that's over $200 million in their pockets, regardless of what happens. And I missed out, I'm sorry, on Russell Wilson. That's seven. That's guaranteed contracts. So that's seven. I guarantee you within the next 5 years, if those guys can sustain their jobs, they can stay around, you're going to see another 3 to 4 that are going to be implemented. Now we've moved the threshold of being over a third of the league being African-American quarterbacks, to where now you're going to have to get the mobile guys that are white quarterbacks too as well. So it's a great day, you know, in football. It's good to see it. Long overdue. I was way ahead of my time. I like to say I was on time. They just weren't ready. But so that means that I was too early. But, you know, it's a great day. I will say that. It's happening in Black History Month too as well. So it's a beautiful thing. Wish we could celebrate it more often than this, but it is what it is, and we just got to keep trending. I think we keep trending, we'll be fine, and reparation is will, man. I'm going to have to go make a few phone calls to these owners and say, y'all need to give me 10% of what y'all giving these young kids, and so I could have my $100+ million guaranteed money in my bank accounts. How about that part? That would be fun.
Cordell, I'm all for that, man. I always enjoyed watching you play. That was Cordell Stewart joining us on the show today as we celebrate the black quarterback. Is this is the first time in the Super Bowl the two African-American quarterbacks are going head-to-head for the ultimate prize in the game. Cordell, really happy to have you join us today. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, brother.
That's Cordell Stewart joining us on the show today. He's brought to you by AG Power, John Deere. AG Power, experience all that John Deere has to offer at AG Power, and also by Papa Murphy's. Get any medium two-topping pizza for just $6.99 in store or at papamurphys.com. Let me choose my words very carefully here based off the conversation that we just had with Cordell Stewart. And Rob, tell me if you feel very similar just based on the tone of it. Because earlier we had Doug Williams on the show, and Doug, I thought, had a very different tone. The tone that Doug had was, I went through a lot, but eventually I made it. I didn't really get that tone from talking to Cordell Stewart about his career. If you think about Cordell's career, it obviously didn't pan out the way that Doug Williams did. He didn't hit the heights. He didn't have the measure of success. And I still don't know if people ever really looked at Cordell as a quarterback in the way that they do with Doug Williams. Like, Doug Williams is celebrated by playing quarterback. I don't know if Cordell Stewart was. Like, I got a sense of being jaded by the fact that he probably did happen a generation or two too early, that the league just needed more time to catch up. And if Cordell Stewart played today, or maybe in that slight generation before us, I think his career would have been viewed a whole lot differently. I think you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks like him. Like, Michael Bishop would be perfect for today's NFL. Wasn't really perfect for that time. Like, I look at the situation we have where this is the first time that we have seen two African-American quarterbacks going up against each other in a Super Bowl. I think this is just going to be the norm moving forward because the position is changing. There were 11 black starting quarterbacks in the league this year, and we think three more are coming next year. Bryce Young's going to start for somebody next year. C.J. Stroud's going to start for somebody next year. And you can probably count Anthony Richardson, who played quarterback at Florida. He's going to be a top 10 pick. I just think that this is the future of the position. Like, one conversation, Rob, that you and I have had about the quarterback position and sort of where it's headed is, I understand that you need your quarterback to be a good passer and that there's going to be those third and eight, third and nine situations where your quarterback is going to need to throw the football to have success. Like, I get all of that. I also think that the league is moving and trending in a way where there's just more guys like Jalen Hurts than there's ever been before. Like, I think we've always been able to point to, well, that style might work in the regular season, but you can't win a championship this way. Well, Jalen Hurts is 60 minutes away from winning a championship. There's not a quarterback in league history that's won a Super Bowl that we would put in the same category that I think we've sort of been knocking on the door, figuratively speaking, with Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, et cetera, that I just don't think this is going to be a conversation anymore the next 5-10 years because the league is trending in that direction. We're going to be at the point where half the quarterbacks in the league are black, 2/3 of the quarterbacks in the league are black. So I don't think we're going to have this conversation too many more times moving forward because the league has evolved in a lot of ways.
One thing I've always argued, and I guess we agree and disagree at the same time. I've always said I need to see a guy like Jalen Hurts do it. I need to see like a Lamar do it. I need to see a Mike Vick type do it because guys who are run first and smaller in stature and smaller in frame, we don't have that data point yet for NFL champion. I will say, though, you're right. The NFL is changing, and it's not just with black quarterbacks. You're seeing it with white quarterbacks, too. Josh Allen is a guy that probably isn't highly drafted or highly sought after 10, 15 years ago. Cam Newton was that guy, too. These are guys who are bigger, stronger. They look like linebackers. They run around. They make plays. But they can absolutely sling it with their arms. I think C.J. Stroud falls in that category a little bit, too. He's a bigger guy. Definitely Anthony Richardson. He's a big guy coming in the league. So you're right. I think the Lamars of the world, I'll always ding and be like, hey, when was the last time a smaller, slender frame guy ran around and made plays and won a Super Bowl? And until it happens, I'll have to always be able to say it. But the league is definitely trending that direction. And Cordell said at the end there, look at the RPO game. The RPO game was, you know, a little neat trick in college people were using to manipulate college linebackers. Now everyone does it. You got to be able to pull it and then run and go get 7 yards because you can beat a guy to the edge. But also, you got to be able to sling it in there and fire it in there on that quick slant just as much. The NFL is trending toward the quarterback being one of the best athletes on the field, and that's why you're seeing the evolution of the position.
Yeah, I just think that there is a certain level of athleticism that you need to play the position now. That if you don't have a sense of mobility, then I just don't know how you have success in the league. Like, I don't know if it's just a black or white issue. Like, who's the Eli Manning type for this generation? Like, would Eli Manning, who was not mobile in any facet of the imagination, would Eli Manning work in 2023? Like, who's that quarterback? Who's that under 30 modern generation quarterback like Eli Manning in today's time. Like, you got to be able to move. You got to be able to move the pocket now. You have to have some sense of athleticism to play the position. Defenses are just too big, too strong, too fast for you to have the Kurt Warner can't leave the pocket type anymore in the National Football League. So that's why I say I just think we are witnessing the future and the evolution of the position. That I'm not saying you got to be Michael Vick at the position. You got to have that level of athleticism. But I think there's that finding the balance between you being a high-level passer and also having enough athleticism to be able to defend yourself and move around and make plays with your legs, that this generation, I think, requires it more because of the style of offense that teams want to run. I think, A, how college is working, like there's just more teams that kind of run that. And I just think that this is just the natural evolution of the game.
I also think, to your point about the tone of Cordell's interview versus Doug Williams earlier, I think he is probably a little jaded, because 15, 20 years ago, when a guy of that level of athleticism came in the league, they were always trying to find a place to put him that wasn't quarterback. It was always, oh, he's a freak athlete, let's get him at wide receiver. Oh, man, he can really run. Let's use him as a gadget player. It's not the exact same. Remember Antoine Rendell? He played college quarterback and college receiver. And when he came in the league, there was never a conversation of which one will he play. He's a freak athlete, so he has to play receiver. Cordell experienced that too. That's why he was slash. Nowadays, the most athletic position on the NFL is probably quarterback on offense, maybe receiver by a hair, but just the pure athleticism, throwing on the run, running, all the things, it's at quarterback. So I get why there was a tone in Cordell's voice where it's like, if I played in 2022, the conversation would have never been from Bill Cowher. Hey, get out there at wide receiver and let's see how it works. The conversation would have been, ooh, we can build an offense around you and you can do some special stuff. And he did special stuff at Colorado, so I think I get his tone.
Coming up on the other side, speaking of Tom Brady, we'll talk about Tom Brady. He spoke to the media for the first time after announcing that he's retired. I think I got a hot take regarding Tom Brady and his future. I want to share with you guys next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
You're listening to The Drive with burger connoisseur Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Andy Reid as he prepares to face his former team in the Super Bowl. Coming up at 4:30, we'll be joined by Warren Moon. Today, we've been having black quarterbacks on the show to celebrate the fact that this is the first Super Bowl that has two black quarterbacks going head-to-head against one another. Warren Moon will join us on the show here coming up in about 45 minutes or so. Tom Brady has done his first interview after retiring. He joined Colin Cowherd's show earlier today. As you know, Tom Brady has secured the bag to be an announcer for Fox. And listen to when he says that he's going to start.
For me, I want to be great at what I do. And even, you know, talking even last week with the people at Fox Sports, you know, and the leadership there allowed me to start, you know, my Fox opportunity in the fall of 2024 is something that's great for me. So take some time to really learn, become great at what I want to do, become great at, you know, thinking about the opportunity and making sure I don't rush into anything. And I think when people really bet on me, I think one thing about my career, whether it was when I was drafted by the Patriots or signing for free agency with the Bucks, I wanted to be, you know, fully committed. And I never wanted to let people down. I think my biggest motivator was that. So, you know, even in the future, I want to be great at what I do. And that always takes some time and strategizing and learning and growing and evolving. And I have so many people to rely on that can support me in that growth too. So it's going to be a great opportunity for me to take some time to really certainly become at my Fox broadcasting job, which I'm really looking forward to, but also catching up on other parts of my life that need some time and energy.
I don't think Tom ever takes the job with Fox. I don't think he ever takes it. This is what I think happens the next year. I think Tom appreciates for the first time in his life, the fall is free and open. Tom is not doing this job because he needs the money. Not at all. Tom's doing this job because he wants to do it. I think Tom sees this offseason, how free it is, how much time he has to just be Tom Brady and spend time with his kids, spend time with his family. I don't think Tom ever takes the Fox job. I also don't think it's that bad. We're going to get a chance to hear the number one crew for Fox on Sunday. I understand that we don't get a chance to hear them as much as we hear Nance and Romo because they got the CBS and they got the AFC. And Nance and Romo, you hear as a Chiefs fan, what, 7-8 times over the course of the year? This might be your first or second chance really hearing them do a Chiefs broadcast. I think people will be blown away at how good the Fox broadcast is on Sunday. I don't think that Fox needs Brady. I think Fox got pushed into, we got to spend big to keep up with all these other networks. Look at what ESPN did. Look at what CBS did. Look at what all these other television networks have done. We got to do the same. Who can we get? Hey, let's go get Tom Brady. Let's throw a lot of money at him. I think the crew they got now is strong. Sure, it doesn't have the star power that Jim Nance and Romo has. It doesn't have the longevity of now the ESPN Monday Night Football crew. I think Greg Olson's really good. I like Kevin Burkhardt. I think the Fox broadcast of the Super Bowl is going to be really strong. I don't think they need Tom Brady next year. I think something happens to void the deal and Tom just never ends up taking and Tom just does something different with his life. That's my hot take. If you want my hot take for the start of Super Bowl week, I don't think Tom ever broadcasts a game for Fox.
So you think he's going to turn down all that money from Fox and say, you know what? I like my personal time too much. See you later. I think Tom's too competitive, way too competitive for that. Now, for the first time ever, we saw his competitive juices maybe start to diminish a little bit because we've never seen him skip camp. We've never seen him leave camp for a wedding. We've never seen any of that from Tom Brady. But Tom Brady is Jordan-esque in his obsession with being the best. You think after a year away, he's not going to hear people say, you know, Greg Olson's great. Do we need Brady? You don't think he's going to put that chip on his shoulder? You think the man who is most notable for the biggest chip on his shoulder in competitive sports history is going to say, nah, I'm good. I won't show that I'm better than him at that? No way. I think the year off is odd. I think it's very weird. That's I can't believe Fox allowed it.
But that's why I think that, though. The year off, I mean, what is Tom going to be doing? Is Tom going to do college football games? Is Tom going to do lower-level NFL games? I mean, the only way to prepare for this job is to do it all the time. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you continue to get better. You can't simulate the live aspect of it. You can't simulate that. You just can't. I don't care what podcast you listen to. It's different doing it this way, where you mess up and you get instant reaction and feedback. It's different doing it that way. So all the live reps that Tom can take over the next year, the best thing for Tom to be will be to dive right in. You got the whole offseason. You just played in the league. You just got done watching film, scouting these teams. You know everybody. You're Brady. You got to take a year off? You got to take a year? Yeah, you got to take a year off to do this? I'm telling you, man, I think Tom will enjoy on Sunday not having to deal with it, not going anywhere. And I think he just says, hey, you know what? It's not like I'm doing this job because I need the money. I enjoy my free time. I enjoy the peace of all of it. That's my hot take, man. I don't think Tom ever takes this job. I think at some point in the next year, we see an announcement that they're happy with what they have and that Tom has decided that he's just going to pass on the deal and that he's not going to take the job. That's what I think is going to happen here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Andy Reid going up against his former team, the Philadelphia Eagles, in the Super Bowl. Did you guys see the news story that just came across? So you guys remember Potato Girl. Her name is Nikki Conrad, if you're unfamiliar. So this girl, she sits up in the 300 level at Arrowhead. She had a baked potato in her pocket. She was eating the baked potato at the game. It went viral. Everybody was talking about it. Well, the potato chip company Lay's has decided that they are sending Nikki Conrad to the Super Bowl on them. Rob, you are not working hard enough. You went to that game. You were at the divisional round game between the Chiefs and the Jaguars. What kind of content did you bring us back? You went to the game. You used me for tickets, and you're just having a great time. We didn't get the potato girl on the show. You didn't go viral. We here in Kansas City. We ain't going to the Super Bowl. What value have you provided us? Can you call Lay's and get them to take us to the Super Bowl? I'd love to go. All you had to do was eat one baked potato, and you wasn't willing to sacrifice. Winners pay the price. And that's obviously a price that was way too high for your blood. I'm sick.
I'm happy for the girl, but I am.
No, I'm not worried about her. I'm worried about you, and you could have. This could have been you. You could have gone viral. You could have been KC Potato Boy. And no, you too busy being cheesesteak fella.
I think Philadelphia's like the only city in the world that's claim to fame food you could argue is better than KC Barbecue.
Whoa.
Could argue.
You think a food company is going to reward you when you have those kind of food opinions? That's what you think? Is that what you think? Were you expecting Geno's to be listening to the show and paid for you to go to the bowl? Were you expecting Pat's to take care of you for the Super Bowl when you gave that opinion? Are you working as hard as you can for this show? You're not. Sure, you booked Warren Moon. Whoop-de-whoop. Did you get us tickets to the Super Bowl? If the answer is no, you ain't working hard enough. You're not doing what's necessary for this show to be the best. Not just in the city, the world. Potato girl going to the bowl and me and you stuck here looking at each other in cold Kansas City. I don't see a leaf in sight. 50 degrees outside. You didn't get the text I got. Alex Gold is sending me selfies from the pool, rubbing it in my face that he's at the bowl. And look at me and you here looking at each other. You excited to go to KU's basketball game today. How many times you been to KU's game? Hundreds? How many times you been to the Super Bowl? Zero. We could have gone if you had worked harder. This is your fault. I'm putting all of this on you, Rob. I've done my part. You're not doing your part. Coming up in a bit, Warren Moon will join us on the show. We'll also talk about Andy Reid, who is going up against his former team, the Philadelphia Eagles, in the Super Bowl. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.